Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Fuck off. We were just having a talk. I just want to say one thing.
Say it.
That I will never forgive Carly Kloss for her Metball pre-Metball photo where she had a photo of herself looking in her makeup. What are those little mirror things called again? Compacts.
Her compact.
And one of her eyes, and her caption was staring camp right in the eye. And then like she debuted her outfit and it was not camp.
It was literally crap. It was like a bad dress.
And she had like flats on.
Literally have never, like, did you even care to Google camp? I still like get heated about the camp Met Ball. The disaster that was the camp Met Ball. And honestly, I do believe that the Met Ball deserved to get canceled this year based on last year's showing of camp.
Yeah. First of all, not having John Waters as a judge. Bye.
Insane.
Second of all,
not inviting any Real Housewives, like not leaning into like these are the people in the culture now that represent current camp is like such a misfire and also like very like classist. And I know Vogue is not like a publication for the people, but it's also like supposed to be like it's
purveyor
supposed
of culture.
To be a purveyor of culture and like speak to trends in society.
No, Anna Wintour doesn't like. I'm sorry,
I was
she
like,
doesn't,
honey,
like,
you missed the fucking mark,
bye.
And I will no longer
you
be
missed
subscribing.
The mark. Everyone looks like shit. Gaga looked great. I think Gwyneth. She looked great.
Yeah, Gwyneth did like a
it?
Little. No, I love. I mean, don't put words in my mouth.
Do you love Gogs?
I loved Gaga. I look
that
back and
camp.
I'm like, I like Zendaya. I like anyone that tried their hand at something a little avant-garde or weird, even if it didn't really understand what camp was, I still gave them credit. Like Cara Delevingne dressed as like the Candyman from Candyland. I was like, I think you missed the point, but like, guess
you
what? You
point.
Tried. You tried, and I'll give it to
Kim,
you.
Kim was camp.
Yeah. Oh, total camp.
Kim got it. I loved it.
And Kanye was also camp. Kanye and Frank Ocean were truly like they gave it to us.
Yeah.
But like how
look up images.
Stupid do you have to be? It just like really it's like fashion. If she would be she will be revealed tonight. It was a revealing of just like how out of touch a lot of like fashion and the fashion world truly is.
Also how just how lame so many celebrities are.
Yeah. You Gaga give people a Katie... chance to make you lol, and when they fall flat, you literally rolled out the red carpet and been for like, impress me, show me what you got. And then so
imagine
many
like
of
Ramona
them,
Singer showing up and like NeNe Leakes.
In like full design. Like those should have been the pairings. Can you imagine how groundbreaking that would have been?
Well, Paper Magazine, I have to say, did some camp stuff when they, like, I told you when I interviewed Teresa and Melissa Gorga and they were in designer, they did like a high fashion shoot. They did a high fashion shoot with Sonia Morgan. Like, that is camp.
That's what I want to see. That, the cover with like Jocelyn Wildenstein, I still think about all the time.
But, like, but, you know, and like Katy Perry taking off her hamburger outfit while J-Lo walks by is camp.
Look, Katy Perry,
a little bit.
Say
a little
what you
bit.
Will, say what you will about her, but she gave it
She's
her all.
Campy.
And like the chandelier, I was like, okay, that's camp. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like I kind of am coming like, around. I'm getting to a point with Katy pairs where I'm just like, okay, I like it. I like what I'm seeing. And like I'm into your like Purell outfit. Like she does understand a level of camp and has committed so hard. Like at first I was like, oh, you're just like a mouthpiece for whoever is telling you to like dress like this to like make a splash. But I think she actually loves it and is like having ideas, and I'm into it.
Why wasn't Tilda Swinton there? Why wasn't you know,
why weren't like Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn there? And Isabella Rossellini.
Oof.
Why wasn't the entire cast of Sex and the City there? Why wasn't like, weren't
Meryl
the, like,
and
ab
Goldie
fab?
Should have done like Death Becomes Her.
I know.
Like,
the ab fab have... ladies.
Yeah.
Like, what in the
no one
world
brought it.
Was that? Zero. It got like a literal gift an F from me. Looking, staring someone, camp right in the face. Someone retweeted that recently.
Staring, looking camp right in the
looking
eye.
Looking camp right in the eye. And then that outfit was like.
She was like.
Hmm.
What would you have, what would your, like, could someone have done like Carrie?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, you could have done an outfit that looked like that for sure.
Why wasn't Lindsay Lohan there?
Yeah, Lindsay. Well, I get why
she's not. She's not really camp. She's a chaos.
Yeah, she's a chaos agent, and also like she would have. She's too much of a liability. Like you'd have to like buy extra event insurance if you're gonna have Lindsay show up to the Met Ball.
Kris Jenner is camp.
No one's willing to take. Yeah, Kris Jenner.
RuPaul did not bring it. He sucked. That was a bummer that he didn't. He didn't dress and drag for that.
I know. I was kind of like. Sad about that.
John Travolta should have shown up as Divine's
character
from
Hairspray. Or just showed up in full drag again.
Or just showed up as himself.
Yeah. Was John Travolta even there?
No.
Honestly, they should have had Nikki Blonsky there because she deserves it.
She should have been like doing red carpet interviews. Also, like, why wasn't, sorry, but like, why wasn't, Marilyn Manson there, and why wasn't why didn't they do like a Swan send up? Remember the show The Swan?
I'll never forget. I have it on DVD. Maybe I need to rewatch that during Quar.
Why wasn't Sharon Needles there from RuPaul?
Do you remember didn't Extreme Home Makeover begin as just Extreme Makeover, where they would just give someone complete body modification and face modification plastic
terrifying.
Surgery?
The scariest part of The Swan was when, I think that was that, but the scariest part was when they'd be like, the children would start crying because they didn't recognize their parent.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom would be like, honey, it's still me. It's still mom. And the kid was like, you're not my mom.
The best thing ever is that all the contestants then had to do a full pageant and compete against each other as their new selves.
And they're like, look how revolting you used to be.
Like, you used to be disgusting. Then we sucked all the fat of you, injected it back into your face, gave you a nose job, eyebrow lift, new teeth, new feet, new ears. slap some extension on your
foot transplant.
Yeah, they're like, your toes were hideous, so we fixed them, like shave them down. Like, they literally were like, circle every part of your disgusting body and then fix it and then put the new you out there. I miss those shows. Like, those were so like, of a certain era.
There were the, there's that one show, What Not to Wear, where they like would post them in like Times Square or like in, or like Madison Square Park, and like everyone would like critique their looks. Remember that? There's like love. Standing like a mannequin, and everyone's like, "Ew, they're fucking disgusting." I like a light makeover where it's just like on the Today Show when they would have like a mom in the crowd gets a makeover, and then she zhuzhes up, and then like I like that. Like I don't like extreme, but I like a little like fluff up where they like dye their hair, or like America's Next Top Model makeover.
Yeah,
like that shit.
American Next Top Model makeovers were truly troll makeovers.
Yeah, they were psychological terrorism.
It was psychological torture. But you know what? Also, I rewatched, which was actually like an incredibly healing and powerful experience. The other day I was like doing chores and I just put on the entire episode of Tyra and Naomi's like face off on Tyra Banks's talk show. And it's like a 42-minute like YouTube video, and it's truly incredible. And there is healing at the end, and they really bury the hatchet. It's really gorgeous.
But I love Naomi being like, I didn't really know we had a feud.
She's unaware, and she's like, I didn't say. She's like, I would never say something like that. But then she.
Why wasn't Naomi Campbell a judge of camp?
Yeah.
She's campy.
I don't know. I really don't know. I wish I could tell you.
Yeah. Tyra was all about healing.
Mm-hmm.
She really.
And you learn a lot about their lives and like their traumas throughout it.
Tyra's
and they
camp.
Talk very openly. Tyra is so camp.
I will both never forgive her for not being in the movie longer, but also praise her forever for her iconic 5 minutes in Coyote Ugly.
Amazing. That's like part of the reason I even went to see that movie is because
I know. And then she was like
a Tyra head, and she like literally wipes down the bar at one point, and she's like, no you don't, like said one line, and I was like, wait, where is Tyra? So I feel like they filmed her like wiping down the bar, maybe like sprint filling a jug of water, and then going like this on the bar, being like everyone, they just filmed like stomping on the bar.
Bridget Moynihan, who played the bar, the head of the Coyotes. What's her name? Maria Bello. She's like,
oh, she's no nonsense. She's tough but hot.
Iconic lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she Love is that. An iconic lesbian.
Yeah.
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 Really fast, we need to talk about Kristen Cavallari got divorced from Jay Cutler.
They filed for divorce. This is the drama. This is like the only real drama that's gone down celebrity wise in COVID, aside from just like celebrities acting like blithering idiots. Yeah. Singing Imagine. A lot of good that did us.
I know. That feels like 10 years ago.
I know.
Kristen Cavallari, as most know, as many of you may know, Kristen Cavallari at the beginning of CORE was held up in the Bahamas, I believe, with her husband Jay Cutler, former quarterback from the Chicago Bears, who's just like retired now and like just like kind of frumpy. Mm-hmm. And then her hairstylist, who's like this like mountain, he looks like a mountain lion gay man, who is married to one of the Rhodes twins who came out to their dad over YouTube. They both
Amazing.
Came out. Dad, I'm gay and Austin is too. and iconic. And so they were all in quarantine together with Kristen and Jay's kids, and they were like posting like unapologetic like back at the beach, like, and they were like in the scouring the comments, all four of them being like, we're quarantining, like we're together, we're social distancing, like blah blah blah, like we're not, you know, we're stuck here. And they were there for like 25 days and then somehow made it back to Nashville and LA respectively.
Yeah, they were stuck there for 3 weeks. I mean, I think that that's a pretty chill situation to be quarantining in.
I know, like Armie Hammer and his wife, Elizabeth Chambers, who I didn't realize is an anti-vaxxer. They're holed up in the Grand Cayman where he's from, which I love.
We love that. I mean, if you're already there and all this shit's going down and you have the means to just stay, that's what I would fucking do.
Yeah. So everything seemed like hunky-dory and hunky-dory. Everything seemed like hunky-dory. Everything seemed like it was going swimmingly during this, like, LOL work quarantine from vacation. We may never come back from the Bahamas. And then, shocking, yesterday they announced, or Sunday,
they announced
their divorce. Yeah,
they both filed. Kristen filed with, she cited marital misconduct, and she's filing for primary custody, and he did not cite marital misconduct and is filing for joint custody. So it looks like there's going to be a battle on our hands, which I don't love. I think that that's like so toxic for a family to have to go through. But I mean, marital misconduct. I'm now just like, because there's no other drama to invest in, I think everyone's so heavily invested in this drama. And I feel like they probably, I mean, this is going to be great for Kristen's brand. This is great for Uncommon James. This is great for her show.
Kristen's like the most famous woman in the world right now.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
Literally everyone in the world, I'm obviously kidding, but literally everyone in the world is like gripped by Kristen Cavallari's drama, because the world's like in an apocalyptic shambles right now, where like any source of like celeb salacious gossip, even if it's fucking Kristen Cavallari, is like, she's like number one trending around the world.
No, I'm like, she's about to go and watch her bad reality show that I like tried to watch season one of, that was just not good.
I can't even talk. Like, I have watched that with my sister once or twice, and it is, she thinks it's bad too. It is so bad. The people are so stupid, and I'm not even going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's really not good. There are some good moments here and there, but ultimately you're like, this is a terrible show. But that hasn't stopped me from like going to literally Uncommon James in Nashville and buying jewelry. So joke's on me. But I was like, because I guess one of the rumors or something that was on last season of the show was like Kristen's best friend Kelly, like allegedly, she was accused of having an affair with Jay, and now Kristen and Kelly like aren't friends anymore, but everyone denied it. But I'm like, ooh, do I need to go back and like watch and see what I think about Kelly and Jay?
Literally the first Google word was Kristen, or the second was Kristen best friend.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe we should.
I mean, I'm now intrigued, but I think that this is all what it's for. Like, Kristen was getting a lot of shit at the beginning of quarantine because she was, like, really trying to, like, hawk Uncommon James. Like, she was tweeting about, like, discount codes and all this, and then did a whole post where she was like, text me, I need to be more in touch with you guys. And, like, this is a way where we can connect, and it's literally just one of those celebrity things. It's like, text me so I can tell you when new stuff is uploaded that you can buy from my website.
Yeah.
And so people were really, like, getting mad at her for, like, her tone-deaf responses during the time of COVID. But, like, I think that this is now a way to like rehab. But Kristen's really grabbing COVID by the balls and saying, nothing will stop me from getting the attention and money I deserve. And I kind of have to respect her for it.
Wait, so her friend Kelly was the one that was dating that guy in Canada, right?
Yeah.
On the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she was messy. They like got drunk. Oh my God. Oh my God!
There was a shred of Vanderpump Rules energy to Kristen's show. I will say that. Yeah. I know. I just looked at that picture last night.
Can I say something?
Say it.
I'd fuck Jay. He's hot. Maybe it's his like sad eyes. There's something about him that's like disgusting.
He's like a sack of potatoes.
He's kind of hot.
Well, you know what? I think that
look at that.
He has strategically...
Sorry! I'm a...
Quarantine has really done a number on Icaro. But, like, Jay Cutler is one of those guys that has, like, strategically grown facial hair to hide the fact that he has no jaw, which I appreciate him from saving us from looking at his literal lack of chin, but, like...
Yeah,
but
no
I.
chin.
I think he's a zero on the binary for me. There's some sort of bro energy about him, and just like, I just imagine, I don't see him as being very good at sex. He's not giving me Maria Bello energy. Now you're just staring at pictures of Jay.
No, I'm not like a Jay head. I'm not like a Cutler head, but like he just reminds me of like a fucking guy in college who like I'd be talking to at like a frat party who like I'd be like maybe he would like let me suck his dick, but
yeah, he has drunk frat guy energy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which has always read like danger, danger to
no,
me.
No, of course it's vile, but. Sorry, I'm gonna
don't judge
I'm
it. Hey,
I'm probably being problematic.
You have to live your truth. Why are you being problematic? You're attracted to who you're attracted to. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Please don't apologize to me.
I'm that meme of that woman with like the filter with like the paparazzi. If that's true though, that he fucked her best friend, that's fucked.
It's fucked up, but I hope we hear every single detail.
Should we? Oh God, are we gonna have to recap Barry Cavallari?
I don't think so.
Kristen has like she has a crazy complicated life. She's from Colorado. Her brother like died last year.
Yeah, that was really sad.
They found him in like the mountains.
I think in the desert or something. Yeah, like he drove his car and then wandered. It was sad.
So she's had like I think a very tough life.
Yeah,
but she's also.
She's also noted anti-vaxxer, K Cavs. And her children's names, I know this is something they can't really change at this point, but I hope maybe someday when they turn 18, she's named her children like, it's like Jackson, Sailor, Camden. Like it's like those like the memes of like baby names that you see where it's like a woman with a thing that's like, should I name her Jalen?
Yeah. Also, I'm as someone from Camden County, don't name them Camden if they're not from there.
Ooh, shots fired.
Ooh, speaking of Jersey.
Speaking of shots fired.
Oof. Okay, this episode is one of my faves.
This episode has like the most chaotic vacation energy maybe ever.
Wait, did you see the video I made?
On Instagram? Oh my God, yes. Wait, that's beautiful.
Did you love?
I think I was like mindlessly scrolling and then I just forgot to like press turn the sound on, so I was just like haha, and then like didn't really give it a chance to sink in. I love it. There's nothing I love more. It's gorgeous and it goes. It works.
It was kind of a magical moment when they were all together.
It was, and like clubbing together.
There was something like healing about it.
Mm-hmm. It was the calm amidst the storm.
This episode's called Teresa's Got a Gun.
I love whoever names these episodes, like bless them,
bless their hearts. I love we start off with Teresa and Melissa midway through their sit down talk at Jacqueline's house in her like game room. There's a giant ass seasonal candle in the middle of this fortune teller table.
I love her fucking reading room.
It looks like a fortune teller lair.
Yeah, it's really like mahogany shelves and lots of books. And like the
Psychic Tia comes over and reads her there.
Absolutely. It's a place where anytime you need to have a conversation, you go have it in the reading room.
It's a place of Psychic Tia.
Yeah, it is a total place of Psychic Tia. And so Melissa and Tree argue over just like minutiae in their long and torrid relationship.
Torturous.
It's really actually this conversation I wrote. This conversation is making me feel crazy. It was like hurting my brain to watch them like try and bury the hatchet, but like they can't move past just like years of resentment.
Teresa tries to gaslight Melissa at every turn.
Teresa is would be so infuriating to argue with. Like, she's the kind of person, like, are they friends now? Were they able to, like, be friendly with each other?
They're friends. I think
they put,
I mean, when I met
first.
Them, they were, when I met them, they were very sisterly together.
Okay, good.
Like,
I'm like,
off camera.
How would you even be able, like, it would take just the strength of 1,000 nations to put up with a sister-in-law like Teresa. Yeah.
I honestly think them going to jail, and I think when Joe was in jail and, like, when he was deported, like, Joe Gorga, like, moved Gia in to Rutgers. Like, he went with them to, like, help move Gia in. Like, I think Melissa and Joe really stepped up for the kids.
And they realized that family is the most important thing. Everyone kind of realized, yeah.
And I think Joe leaving was maybe the best thing for Teresa. I think I actually think Joe was poisoning her against her family in a lot of ways. I do. I think he's a toxic, toxic person. And I think he had a lot to do with the riff. And I think a lot of Teresa's rage, like you've said before, was actually at Joe. And she pointed it at Melissa and Joe Gorga. I think she's also jealous of Melissa and petty. But I think Joe Giudice had a lot to do with the riff. And I think once he went away to jail, it gave Melissa and Joe and Teresa kind of time to re-heal together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Teresa's like, I have no choice but to, like, be good to them because they've literally helped me with jail.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, they were there. I can't imagine, like, it's crazy to me that she went to prison and then those children were just left to fend for themselves with Joe Giudice as their dad.
Well, no, and I think that's when Melissa really stepped in.
Yeah.
I think she was there for them. And, like, honestly, the other day, Teresa posted a photo with Joey Gorga, like, Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And it warmed my heart for his birthday.
Oh, I saw that, too. I liked it. It was really sweet. I'm glad that they were able to get to a place of love with each other because this was very difficult to watch. And I think that's why also, like, this is part of me just, like, initially, like, losing interest in Jersey because this kind of shit is, like, too close to home. Like, it's too intimate almost to see, like, real deep resentments and family fighting play out. Like, there's a point where it becomes not funny anymore and it's like, oh, these people have, like, real problems that they need to, like, work on.
Well, I think it's why they got like Kim Richards removed from the show because she and Kyle, their fighting was like, we should not be watching this.
Yeah, there's something that feels really icky about watching that kind of drama play out.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games Teresa goes, until you're like fighting about just like you're anything. Really having a real argument. Yeah.
Melissa's like, brings up the christening again and Teresa goes, that wasn't my doing, that was my brother's doing. I was like, Jesus. But Melissa has the complete upper hand in this fight.
Yeah, absolutely. She's the one that's like level-headed and Teresa like can't take responsibility for anything. Everything has a comeback.
Nothing.
And then Melissa's like, you didn't even come to like the hospital when my kid was born. And Teresa goes, you know my husband does not like hospitals.
And she said she came for the other ones.
Yeah.
And then
just like everything she says is like, there's no point to it.
She also brings up like, she goes, all the things that they fight about Joe and Joe are is business. She's like, you know, a plumber came by to Joe, my husband, the other day and said, your husband hadn't paid his bills. My brother hadn't paid his bills. And then Melissa goes,
I don't want to see Joe Gordon's bills.
Do you really
bills?
Think that you are in any position to talk about money right now? Because I would not go there.
And Teresa's fucking owns her. Melissa's own
shit
rats.
Down. Yeah.
And Teresa, literally, Teresa goes, you can see it in her face. She's like, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's insane. The thought process that she would even go there. Like, I'm now getting heated by proxy because I'm just like the thought that you would even go there, it's like I can't understand how your brain would even think that that's an appropriate thing to say.
But also like just on an argument scale, like honey,
yeah, like
that's not a missile to fire when you have
you're literally millions of dollars in debt, and then you're going to talk about a plumber bill?
That was Melissa. The way she handled that was like, I mean, it was like, oof, but it was also like,
she had to say it, and she said it in a polite, it was like, she said it in a really polite way, like kind of a loving way.
That's what it was kind of like a very loving, like, she kind of was firm with her, like, bitch, mm-hmm. I love you right now. We're not talking about that because you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was not in like a, I'm trying to throw this in your face, like, fuck you. It was really just like, it was a respectful warning.
Don't cross that boundary. Mm-hmm. And then Teresa goes again, the wife makes it and the wife breaks it. So basically it's not up to the men. And then Melissa says that that's true. And I was, I wrote, the fuck?
I said, wrote, the what fuck? Does this mean? With they like a million questions. They do live in Gilead. And that's when it's also was starting to go crazy.
Yeah, that was like, okay. I was like, Melissa, I was rooting for you, honey. And like, so it's not up to the men at all. It's up to them. It's up to Melissa. Teresa basically says it's now up to you. Teresa has absolved herself from any responsibility in this. And she's like, you need to make this right.
Mm-hmm.
So Melissa now, everything falls on her shoulders. They end up hugging it out. And then after they make up in her confessional, Teresa, she's like, you need to show love. Show love to my mother. You got to show love. And Melissa's like, and then so they start fighting again.
Yeah. They're really obsessed with being shown love. There's literally a helicopter flying so low over my apartment. I can feel the walls shaking.
Every day.
Every day.
Speaking of shaking, that fault line in Inglewood that earthquake last week is like, has been active like every day.
Please.
Anyway. Please, God, not an earthquake during a fucking pandemic.
I'm putting it out. I'm saying there was not an earthquake during the pandemic.
There was not.
And everything was fine. And we all healed. And it was wonderful.
Please do your revisionist history.
Tree apparently so, got
Teresa
mad.
Teresa brings up a story. No, Tree brings up a story about, she goes, one time, the first Christmas we spent together with Melissa, Joey got a phone call from another girl, and Melissa got mad and stormed out of my mother's house, and Joe went after her, and they never came back. And I was like, that's a great first impression. I'm like, okay. That she is goes, not okay.
That pissed my mother off because she's all about respect. I was like, what in the world? I wrote, this culture is twisted. She's all about respect. So he literally got a, like, she's supposed to just like booty let call. Her husband get like booty calls and like cheat on her during and not Christmas? Have an emotion about that.
Show her love. Teresa, show her love. And Melissa goes, I have showed her love.
But then Melissa reveals that Tree got mad that Melissa used the same photographer for Antonia that Teresa used for Gia. And that was like a huge source of their drama. Is that
Teresa? I pay good money for that, and I don't want to see that in other people's homes.
That's a psychotic thing to get mad about.
Yeah, I think Melissa's probably picked at her a little, but I think Teresa's the real source of the between them. I think it's mostly Teresa.
And also, no one makes Joey Gorga take any responsibility in the situation. I mean, look at this boy, this man. He's been like engaged multiple times. He clearly like doesn't have his shit together when it comes to relationships, and then is like stepping out, like getting a sus phone call on Christmas Eve from some other woman when his like girlfriend is right here. Like, that should be called.
I would have stormed
crazy.
Out too.
Yeah, I would have stormed the fuck out. That has nothing to do with her feelings about your parents. It's really it's really my brilliant friend vibes. I wrote.
Teresa's mom seems like kind of a mean person too.
Yeah, she's a little bit. She's a mean mommy for sure.
Melissa brings a bunch of photos of like the Gorgas, the Judices, and the Wakilis together in Punta Cana and like the good times. And Teresa, she goes, "Oh," and Melissa is about to show her a photo of the two of them, and she immediately takes one of her and her brother, and she goes, "Look at me and my brother."
We get it. You love your brother. It was nice of Jacqueline to let them use her house to duke it out.
Jacqueline's like, let's get wasted.
I loved her Jacqueline just sitting in the kitchen, like,
nervously
silently.
Drinking Bailey's.
Yeah, just like getting shit-faced. And then she's like, okay, well, let's all get shit-faced. Jacqueline spends this entire episode just getting tanked.
Wasted. Come on, let's go.
Come on. Caroline feels...
We go to the brownstone.
She's talking to Al.
I wrote, the brownstone only exists in autumn.
Mm-hmm. It is a true autumn icon. Caroline, also, you can tell that she feels really sexy now that she's on the radio.
Oh, for sure.
And then she basically says, like, but go into the Catskills. Are you going to come? And Albert Sr. is like, no. So that's that. It's a very short scene.
Well, he also, like, she goes, how did I do? Was I good? And he's like, not really. He's like, you were nervous. Kind of bad in the beginning and nervous. And Caroline goes, oh.
I mean, I like that he keeps it real with her because it's true. He wasn't like mean about it. It was just like very much like that's exactly what was the deal.
He was like, you were, it seemed like you were waiting for someone to tell you what to say. And Caroline goes, yeah.
She kind of was. I think she was. And after a while in marriage, like it's probably a good thing to be just like honest with someone else when they ask you that. You know what I mean?
For
like,
sure. She wasn't that good.
Yeah. There are some times where it's like you ask your part, like there are times when you need to be told like you're amazing or like kindly lied to.
For sure.
There are also times when you need like just a truth teller. Cause he did say like, didn't he say like you got good eventually or like it ended up going well?
Yeah. He was like, you were at the end, you got it together, but it was just funny. He was very like flat and.
He's not interested. He's like, let me get back to work.
He's like, I'm not going to the Catskills. And Caroline's like, oh God. Jacqueline comes out. We cut to her house. She's carrying two wine bottles that are like the homemade wine. I think that's literally the size of a go-kart. They're huge. Size of a child.
Chris Manzo opens his huge gun safe and he's decided to bring multiple shotguns and like automatic weapons to Tree's Catskills Manor of Sin.
She goes, I'm already stressed about being there with Teresa and her whole like clan. She goes, I think it's going to ruin my Botox. Which I love.
Yeah, she's like, you can't tell that I'm concerned because all my Botox, but I'm really, this is a face of concern. As he's like unloading like weapons on the table.
AK-47s.
Yeah.
Assault rifles.
Antonia has been taking ballroom dancing lessons.
Oh, she has a big holiday concert coming up.
Is literally me.
She's you.
She's me. Ballroom dancing from 2003 to 2004.
Melissa has her sister over and she's like, what are you going to do for your kid, the other kids that night of the recital? And she goes, well, that's why I have a nanny. My husband works hard and we pay for it.
Yeah. I love Lisa. Lisa.
Lisa.
Melissa's sister. I want her spinoff. I don't think she ever gets her moment.
She doesn't. But also, like, again, once you think that they're all good, Melissa starts talking shit again about Teresa.
I know, but then she also says, like, Teresa's mother-in-law, or her mother-in-law, Teresa's mom, babysits for Tree every single day. So, like, Tree doesn't have, like, a nanny or any child care, like, her mom just takes care of all their kids.
And they never take care of the Gorgas kids.
So that would be like annoying.
Yeah. Also, Joe Gorga pays for Teresa and Joe's parents.
Oh, he pays all their bills?
Yeah. They lived in a house that he owned and paid their mortgage every month. Teresa and Joe Tyson didn't do shit.
Joe Giudice, what a bad guy.
What a weasel. And then I think there's one episode where Teresa like calls Joey Gorga out. She's like, why didn't you pay the mortgage this month? And Joe was like, excuse me, Miss Sheriff Sale.
I literally love Teresa trying to get, I mean, that's like a classic. I think I understand why she would try and point fingers at everyone else's like lapses on any sort of payments or like bills.
For sure.
To try and like, it's like grasping at straws to be like, look, you don't pay your bills, not realizing that it's like, yeah, sometimes you miss a bill or something goes by the wayside and it's like not that big of a deal and you pay it later. Like that's life. Like that happens to everyone at some point. But not $11 million in debt is not the same as like not paying the plumber.
But also the idea of like how much Melissa and Joe do for those parents and them continuing to like favor Teresa is just like, I think, such a fucking troll.
Yeah.
And probably causes so much pain for Joey.
Well, also, I'm sure Teresa, there's some sort of like victim complex that she perpetuates that then causes the parents to like tend to her more than they would tend to the family. And it's like, he's the boy, so he's not going to get as much help. Like, the girls need more help, but the men should just figure out their problems. There's, like, that kind of thing going on, probably a little bit.
Like, the princess. Like, she's, like, the princess of the family.
Yeah. So, it's just, like, it's such a toxic family dynamic. But I think what this episode has really taught me, and with the scene between Melissa and Lisa taught me, is that I want a huge mirror.
Oh, yeah. That mirror was like Narnia mirror.
Yeah. I need like a massive, massive mirror in my life.
We cut to Judice's and Loretta's driving up upstate. Joe and Teresa are driving. Jacqueline and Chris are in the back seat. And you hear Joe Judice go, "My father's always had a place upstate." Literally mafia.
So mafia.
Jacqueline's obsessed with toilets.
Oh, yeah. She's obsessed with toilets and showers. I'm like, same, honestly. I would be really nervous if we had to, like, go in a house. I also thought that this was, like, 5 people getting together max to, like, stay in this house. This is, like, 20 people in this house.
There's 20 people in this little itty-bitty cabin, which actually
not even a cabin.
Looks cozy.
I was truly horrified by this cabin. I wrote multiple times. I kept writing, this house. Like, I was not ready.
When they roll out that pasta, though, I was like, oof.
No, the food made it, like, bearable. Like, I'd be in it for the food and the food alone. But honestly, like, every single part of that cabin gave me, like, a visceral reaction.
It was pretty hellish, but also, like something about it was like, ooh.
I feel really itchy. I'm starting to feel itchy, like, thinking about it. It was all, like, aluminum siding and then, like, cheap doorknobs and, flimsy doors that you could, like, kick through.
Those like, faux brass doorknobs.
Yeah, they're, like, too yellow. They're, like, made of plastic or, like, a hard plastic coated in, like, paint.
The hell was that, like, pavilion attached to it? That, like, garage pavilion thing that looked like Jonestown?
That was okay, that was that. You've totally nailed it. That was the vibe. It was a Jonestown vibe. It was David Koresh.
It was fucking Waco vibe, like, cult compound. And that, they literally hang, like, members of rival families, like, by those pavilions, and Joe Judice like tortures them. Like, this is a full-on torture chamber.
It's property. There's no one around, like, to the point where they can fire guns into, like, the forest.
They own so much land.
It's so much land. Bodies are buried there. Like, this house has truly I got a terrible vibe from this house, and it wasn't just like it wasn't just the aluminum siding. It was went beyond that.
No, it was a place of evil.
It was place of true evil.
They probably.
The
New Jersey. I think that's what I liked, and like the hot pasta, and like and those like nights we just stay up till like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but I was that, really was cozed out by that, but the house was truly a house of horror.
Like, they own so much land, too. They must have, like, money just buried out there.
Yeah, that house is filled with secrets. The land.
So they get to the place. Well, they drive up, and then we cut to I don't even want to talk about Kathy. It's a snooze.
Well, there was one thing about Kathy that I loved when it cuts to her, and you see her it's a shot of her like through a window, and she's going soup.
Yeah, she's going
cheesecake.
She's like rifling through a desk. She has all these like old recipes scattered around, and she's going soup. Okay, cheesecake. Yeah, soup. Oh. And I was like, oh my god, this is so staged.
Her looking up recipes is a mood. She loves cooking. I really want to turn it into something more.
Rich comes in. She's like, you know, I loved my desserts at the Thanksgiving. It was a big hit. And Richie's like, I think you should go one step further than selling desserts. I think you should open a restaurant. And I was like, cool, open up a restaurant in a fucking recession.
Kathy's like groundbreaking realizations about dessert are really killed me. She goes, everybody likes dessert. Everybody has room for dessert.
I know.
She's obsessed with dessert.
He goes, I'm not talking like Italian pizza. I'm talking banquet halls. I was like, oh my god, everyone in the show, when they close their eyes, they see a banquet hall.
They do. They can't help it. Everyone arrives to the Catskills House of Horrors, and
first Kathy goes, well, Rich, it sounds very enticing to me. I gotta say, Rich, it sounds very enticing to me. And I wrote, he's definitely a bookie for the mob.
Yeah, she goes, you deal with the thing and I won't touch the books, or something like that.
They won't touch the books.
Creative accounting, God love him.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
When they arrive to the Catskills, it's dark, and Joe goes, up like one of these mountains, we saw bears running up here. I was like, what? I wrote, he should narrate a nature show on Nat Geo.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Jacqueline just walks in, and she just, everything she sees, Jacqueline goes, oh my god, where am I?
She hates it there. That would be me there. Jacqueline literally just gets shit-faced to deal with having to be in this like house with one toilet and like guns everywhere. That would
wolf
be me.
Taxidermy. Wolf
taxidermy and like just like overhead, really intense fluorescent overhead lighting, and like plastic tables and chairs. And Joe's dad is waiting, which
with his
God
brother-in-law.
Love him. His Gia energy is strong.
He has strong Gia energy.
I'm making pasta. He literally talks like our impersonation of Gia on the podcast.
You making pasta? He goes, sauce and wild turkey. That's country pasta.
I love his cousin's name or someone else's name, Duma.
His brother-in-law. Duma.
Seemed really futuristic of a name.
He takes out an AK-40. Like, I think it's an assault rifle.
There was some sort of... I don't think anything was rapid fire, but it definitely was like you load a clip into a rifle, and then Tree is just like holding the gun and like pointing it at everyone.
Yeah.
But all grandpa wants to do is eat the pasta. He's like, everybody sit down, the pasta is ready. Bon appetito, guys. And no one is trying to eat that pasta. I would be right at that table next to grandpa eating grandpa's pasta.
I'd be like, oh, grandpapa, it's so good.
Grandpa. Grazie, grandpa. Grazie, nonno, for the pasta.
They start proceeding to just binge drink. And I was like, are they on other drugs?
No, I think they're just drinking like truly like fermented, like they're drinking like grain alcohol, but like it's like wine, but it's like fermented wrong. Jacqueline says it smells like farts, that Joe's homemade wine, his like prison juice smells like farts.
It's like they're drinking like moonshine, and they also are getting like sexual. Judice talks about how Teresa like doesn't give good blowjobs, and then then Jacqueline at one point gets like so saucy.
Lick her face. Lick her face.
Jacqueline's lit.
Her like former dominatrix comes out because you know she was like a dominatrix at some point.
Yeah, and you know that she also gives incredible blowjobs.
Lick her face. Lick her face, she says.
Don't they even say, doesn't like Chris say that Jacqueline blows him on the reg?
Yeah.
And she's like,
and Teresa's like, I give good head, Joe.
She goes, well, you're the only person I've been given head, so that's just that. I was like, yeah, you know, she gives like shitty blowjobs because she probably does not want to suck Joe's dick and like doesn't, and he never actually, like, it doesn't seem like he's the kind of guy that would teach a woman how to like suck his dick in the way that he wants his dick to be sucked. So like they probably just have terrible sex.
He's like, you should just know how to do it.
You're my wife. You should know. And then Teresa tells him that tells everyone that he calls her a slut in the bedroom. And he goes, get over here, you dirty slut.
And they all start cracking up. And then
I was like clutching my pearls.
I was too. It was scandalous.
It was also scandaloso.
You cut to, there's a clock on the stove. It says like 6 p.m. It's already pitch black dark out, which I love. And then it cuts and suddenly it's midnight. So they were like fully drinking and eating pasta for 6 hours.
My dream.
And
everyone, by the time it's like 12 and they're like making, at some point they just all start making pizza. It's after they've made pasta.
JJ just goes, Melania says I'm the pizza guy. Hey, Dad, you're the pizza guy.
Dad, you're the pizza guy. You know what you should do? Open a fucking pizza restaurant because you're the pizza guy.
Open up a pizza restaurant. I'll deliver.
I'll go on my four-wheeler. I'll deliver the pizza. You'll cook the books. We'll just funnel the money from the pizza. What do you think, Dad? You're the pizza guy around here.
Hey, Gabriella, shut the fuck up.
Gabriella, no, you shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear another word out of you.
Stop crying.
Adriana, go in your room.
You're not getting any of the pizza. Go in your fucking room.
Tree, you dirty slut, get in your bedroom. No one's talking to you. Dad, let's talk about this pizza parlor.
Tree, you dirty slut. Jacqueline makes a Nutella calzone, which I wrote, fuck my face with it.
Yeah, it looked really good. And that crunch sound when she bit into it, I was like, mamma mia.
They're blackout. Teresa, her voice is getting really high.
She goes... when Joe's touching the dough, Teresa goes, I love when he throws the dough and his hairy chest is out. Turns me on so much. I was like, I don't want anyone's hairy chest near my dough.
And she goes, At one point, they go, there's a bunk bedroom, which was really triggering for me.
That was more a people chaotic bunk. Spill it.
More people spill in as the night goes on. Teresa tells Jacqueline that she has no room for Kathy right now in her life, and her goal is only to make up with Joe and Melissa. And she mentions that Kathy's mom and Teresa's dad are siblings, and Kathy's dad and Teresa's dad got into a fight over $200 and never spoke again. And I was like, that's where she fucking learns the petty.
These people, yeah, they know how to like fight and hold a grudge forever if necessary.
And then we randomly cut, it's like daylight, so this editing was weird, and Kathy's wearing a fucking, she has mad top hat energy.
Yeah, I wrote that this isn't the time when I thought she looked stunningly gorgeous, but she was having like equestrian top hat energy when they're searching for like a restaurant. I'm like, the restaurant, like going from just like a bakery to a restaurant is a huge jump in this economy. And she goes into like a really shitty restaurant that's like next to an auto zone or something. And then Rich is like, so when your customers come in, they'll smell burnt rubber.
Like, they'll choke on the rubber before the gasoline before they start to eat. And then she goes, I don't like it in here. She goes, I'm looking for more of a European feel.
She goes, this place has a Jersey Italian feel.
And the guy's like, all right.
Then they go to a banquet hall, which is also, they're like Goldilocks with this like restaurant search. She goes, I want it to feel like our home and I'm just not feeling it here.
She goes, so she's like, I can tell you right off the bat, I don't like that carpet linoleum thing. I was like, that's true.
Yeah. Then we cut back to the next morning and truly I forgot that this had even happened and wouldn't have even remembered it had I not documented it in my notes. Teresa is showing production in her one-on-ones this vibrating cock ring that she got for Joe.
Joe wears, and she goes, it sounds like, she shows it off. Joe wears a cock ring when he fucks her.
I've bought this cock ring once in a relationship years past. It's not a good one. Like, it's not the one.
No,
it's like, it sits in an awkward position. It's not going to stimulate really anything. It's more just, I think, for like the excitement of like, oh my God, we got this thing at like CVS. It's like sold at like CVS or somewhere. Like, I don't even think it's like sold in the sex shop. And then, but Joe in long johns is really hot to me. Mm. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Him and Teresa are just like in bed, and he's like, right here is where we did it 13 years ago for the first time.
So it's a loaded place for them. And he keeps on like vibrating her under the sheets. I was just like, this is insane. Like, there's literally a camera person and like a production team just like standing there silently watching you guys.
They didn't sleep. They're still wasted.
They're shit faced. And like, then Joe keeps like smacking her ass, and then Tree is feeling sexy again. Like, they needed this break to like feel like sexy with each other.
They needed to ignore their mountain is debt.
Their literal island of debt. And Tree goes outside to like shoot a gun.
Yeah, they're shooting off the deck into the yard. They've hung watermelons up on like by tree branches, and Joe Judas comes right out, grabs the gun from like Chris Larita, and just starts firing, and he goes, that one should be in the head. He just like he's a complete sharpshooter. He's totally killed people.
He's really he probably good at hangs people. Guns.
I swear to God, he probably has hung people from those branches who are like snitches, and like shoots them from his deck.
That was like, he was too good at shooting that gun.
He goes, I'm John Wayne over here. That one should be in the head.
Caroline is on her way to the Catskills, and she's bringing a trusty sidekick, Dolores, and the boys. And they pull
Dolores,
up to the house.
Another appearance from Dolores.
I know. I love Dolores, and I'm glad that eventually the world gets more of her. But as they're, and this is the moment when I knew I loved Dolores and could like see eye to eye with her, is they pull up. And the boys are like, it's that's their house. That's the one that's smoking over there. That's a, and she goes, that's not their house. It has a tin roof. And she goes,
there's like a little chimney smoking.
She says, it's all tin. It's all aluminum. I was like, I too was taken aback. Like, Dolores and I are on the same page about this like Catskills house.
Caroline does not want to go at all. She goes, I love the country, but I don't love chaos.
She goes, a gun is a gun.
A gun is a gun. Shit, her family had a working farm growing up, which I love. They probably too had a murder compound.
Yeah, they absolutely did. Wasn't her dad, was it her dad or her grandma that was Tiny Fat Manzo?
No, that was Albert's dad, who was murdered and found in a trunk. He got whacked. Caroline, she's like, does not want Albie and Chris to ride the ATVs or...
A real downer in the country, in the Catskills.
Yeah.
Also, I love that she did not even try to like dress up for this occasion. Like, she's literally just like going, she goes, I didn't get the memo that we had to be fabulous. I dressed warm.
Well, so Teresa walks out, she's showered. She looks like an Icelandic witch. And she's like fully just like wearing like fur boots, like, you know, culturally insensitive number going on. And
isn't that culturally like, insensitive? I think it's ugly.
I'm just kidding. But she truly looks like a Nordic witch.
Yeah, she's
and
like
Caroline
channeling.
Goes, yeah, she goes, Hegazusa. What? A Norwegian witch.
She is a full Norwegian witch. She's like, it's like every different iteration of like winter time. Like, it's Midsommar, it's Swedish, it's, like, Inuit, it's, like, Native American. It's, like, a mashup of every... It's, like, Abominable Snowman. It's Yeti.
Mrs. Claus.
It's Mrs. Claus. It's literally the entire world in a hideous outfit.
Caroline, she goes, I didn't know I got the fabulous memo. Caroline does not like quads.
No.
She goes, I had a friend in high school who got decapitated on a quad.
Decapitated on a quad? I was like, whoa, lady, like, chill.
We really start seeing the division between Caroline and Teresa. Because Teresa's getting annoyed with Caroline. Caroline's annoyed with Teresa.
Yeah. And Teresa also, like, or Caroline brings up, someone brings up, like, the fight between.
Yeah, Caroline goes, what happened? I didn't even ask.
And then they talk about it a little bit. And then Caroline cuts to Caroline's talking head. She goes, we laugh big. We love big. We fight big. And we make up big eventually. I was like, okay.
In the Italian culture, we're a passionate breed. We laugh big.
Then we get the good Joe shooting the gun moment. He goes, I'm good as hell. I feel like fucking John Wayne.
Yeah.
I'm in the Old West here.
Albie was the golden prince forbidden from the woods. Albie's like never been in the woods before.
Albie like can't fend for himself. He can't shoot a gun. He like can't drive the quad. Like he literally is an incompetent.
Chris can do all of it though.
Oh yeah. Chris is the one.
He's the one.
Albie is truly like the nightmare. Like I hope it's like, I know it's so many. I feel like so many women end up with like Albies in their lives.
Yeah.
Their partner. And it's just never what you want.
End up with Chris, more Chris's than Albie's.
Yeah, you really want the Chris, not the Albie. Then we find out that Joe and Tree don't have a holiday budget, or they're like not even like a, like honoring the fact that like everyone keeps trying to be like, so what's your holiday budget? I'm like, can you not like, ask right now?
You paying it back a little? And he's like, well, I can't say no to her. Who's going to give you a budget on Christmas?
They got to get what they want. I was like, you guys. Well, we I'm also sure cut they also don't want to say on camera that they're like
floundering.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Caroline is bringing the most downer energy to this Catskills
journey. She sucks.
She literally
There's
is
always
Debbie Downer.
That one person on every group trip who just brings the level down. I've maybe been that person, but I don't think I've ever gone that far. I've like flirted with being that person, but I don't think I've ever committed to Caroline levels of like, oh.
No, I like, think maybe like one
universal
time
entropy.
I was. I know, but then I just remove myself. Like, if I'm going to bring a Caroline energy, I know that it's better off if I'm not there. And so I just, like, leave. But Caroline is, like, here in sweats to tell you a gun is a gun and then about, like, a decapitation.
My friend got decapitated on a quad in back in the 70s in high school. It was very sad. Dolores was like, fuck.
Dolores is also, I love the level of glamour she's bringing to this Catskills journey.
Great.
She looks amazing.
She's and beautiful.
Like, yeah, she's stunning. She's really
and I love her. I love Albie and Chris. Like, everyone's like drinking wine. Like, it's like a day. If you're going to this cabin, like, you're going to be drinking at like 10:30, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
So, like, accept it. When they walk up to the house, her brother Chris is shooting a gun. Like, he's an expert. And she goes, Chris! She goes, Chris, what if someone's walking by? What if someone's walking onto you? And then Chris, like, jokingly points it at her.
I love how freely they point guns at each other.
I know. Chris! And she goes, my brother, he's responsible with guns, but I don't know about these other people. I don't know them.
I don't know them. What are you talking about? You literally do know them. Except I don't... Joe's like relatives, like the like shaved skinhead relatives, I don't trust at all. I wrote immediately, who are these people? Stranger danger.
Country Italians,
like, they're truly upstate Italians. And also like the Italians that you'd find like hanging in an alley, like in a gang. Mm-hmm. They're ready to like knife you and steal your wallet. Yay.
Steal
Give
your
me
bag.
A wallet.
Give me a bread.
Bag of bread and coins. They'll take all your coins from you. They'll beat you with a sock full of coins is what they'll do.
I did like Chris trolling his sister, though. I liked how Chris trolled Caroline.
Yeah. He loves to get a rise out of her.
Yeah. You can tell that they're actually really close.
Mm-hmm. And they're cute together. Like, I love their brotherly sisterly bond.
They had... There's 12 kids or 11 Lorita kids. That's insane. She goes, we're a family. She goes, you got my parents. There's 11 of us. And with all the kids and all the wives, they don't count the men for some reason. She goes, we're not a family. It's a tribe.
It's a tribe. That's so many people. If I had 11 siblings, Did you ever read The Babysitter's Club?
Maybe one or two.
There was a girl in The Babysitter's Club who was like an honorary member because she was one of the younger girls, and her name was Mallory. And Mallory was from a family with 11 brothers and sisters.
It's real.
And I was always just like, redhead Mallory is like pretty much a charity case. Thank God The Babysitter's Club took her in, because you know Mallory is like a freak off the leash.
I used to wish I was in a family with like 8 kids.
Too many.
Four is a lot.
Four is a lot.
But I wanted to get lost in the mix.
Like, I wanted to like do your thing. Yeah.
I wanted to fly under the radar and just have like a bunch of friends.
That's
and be like, oh,
the nice thing is there'd be built in like friend. You'd have to have at least one best friend out of the family.
One of them is going to like you.
Yeah.
And like, if there were multiple boys, I'd be like, okay, like you guys can, you can be the straight ones. I'd feel way better about like that whole thing.
Yeah. I wish I had
take
a
the pressure
twin
off.
That was like me, but like with the same humor. Like, having a twin that gets it would be truly, there's nothing better than that. Twin energy, and then you're both just like vibing. It's like you're literally born with a best friend.
I mean, watching Simon and Nikki, sometimes I'm like, I'm envious.
They're like MK and A.
They like Simon just know, like they just know, they just get it.
They know things.
And they have like their own language.
Yeah, but like having a twin that doesn't get it and that's just like a psycho, I can't imagine anything worse. Being like, not only are you out of your mind, you also look like me. So that's extra rude.
Yeah, no, twins are, that's a powerful thing.
I want the readers with twins to make themselves known. I want to know if most twins are like vibing, or if most twins are like not vibing, or what. Like, I want to take the twin temperature.
Do you have twins in your family?
No, I don't think there's any twins in my family.
My maternal grandmother was a twin.
I love that.
So I feel like my sister could maybe have twins.
That would be amazing.
But she was a girl boy twin.
Oh.
They were deeply like in tune to each other.
That's cool.
Yeah. When she died, I feel like he like really felt it.
Ugh, I love like just like twin mysteries.
You saw the Three Perfect Strangers?
Mm-hmm.
Three Identical Strangers. That was unbelievable.
That was unbelievable. That was insane to me.
And so sad.
Yeah.
But like, can you imagine how I was so sorry, this is like totally deviating from the
no,
Catskills,
it's okay.
But when they the euphoria of like being together for the first time and feel like not only do you have another of you, you have two others of you.
And you are all discover each other and are just like so happy to have each other
and, like,
in your lives.
Immediately fall into place and like have a deep connection and like feel like you're whole.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It was crazy. The part that haunts me about that documentary is like the part where someone's describing, like, I think it was like they went into some adoption center or they like had a meeting with them and then they left, but like just turned around to catch like everyone cheersing evilly with champagne.
Yeah. No, that one center, there have been multiple, it's this one adoption clinic that preyed on like wealthy Jewish people, I think.
Yeah.
And or like well-to-do Jewish people in the New York area. They were kind of doing it almost as like a social experiment.
Mm-hmm. So fucked up.
Hold on, I'm gonna find the name of that place. But they were like hot too.
they were like smoking really hot. They were also Italian. Weren't they like kind of Italian?
I think they were Jewish.
Oh.
Yeah, the Shaffrin family, I think. The Louise Wise Adoption Agency. It wasn't. I don't think it was specifically. Okay, the brothers have been involved as children in a study by psychiatrists Peter B. Neubauer and Viola W. Bernard under the auspices of the Jewish Board of Guardians, which involved periodic visits and evaluations of the boys. So remember, they were getting like visits routinely by social workers, mm-hmm. who were literally there to like do anthropological studies on like how they're all evolving without each other.
Yeah, it was like a nature versus nurture.
Oh, the infants have been intentionally separated and placed within families having different parenting styles and economic classes. One blue collar, one middle class, and one affluent. So each of them were put into like to see how they would evolve. And they did that. It's so fucked up.
Makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
I love that they got like really famous too. And they were like in a movie with Madonna.
I know. They were like always on like. Oh, and they owned a restaurant.
They owned a restaurant. It looked like a fun restaurant.
A steakhouse.
Ugh, I'm in.
Me too.
Love a steakhouse.
Damn.
You guys should watch that movie if you haven't seen this movie, Three Identical Strangers. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Anyway.
What are you waiting for? Fire it up.
Sorry about that. So
I love that the girls go shopping while the men continue to like chug liquor, shoot guns, and like ride quads.
Yeah, the women go into like
old
some kind of
Hudson
Valley.
I googled it.
They're in like the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, yeah. Old Hudson is a true yum 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 fiesta. I went
you
to their
go.
Website, yeah, and just perused everything that they offer, and it's basically just like a artisanal cheese store.
Ugh.
That offers like gift baskets. They have all these different kinds of cheeses. They have charcuterie platters. This episode is brought to you by Old Hudson.
This episode is brought to you by charcuterie.
Yeah, and cheese.
And cheese.
Soft and cheese. Soft age formaggi.
I want to go on Google Earth and just peruse through that town.
I know. I bet you could find their house on Google Earth.
I went on Google Earth the other night and just went inch by inch through my hometown.
Yeah.
I felt like a person just discovering technology the first time, and I didn't really realize you could go like that deep into Google Earth. So I was
you can go really deep.
I was like going past my old house. I was showing like where I went to school. I went to my high school in Philly. I was like so happy.
I found my boarding school on Google Earth and like went and just like looked around my boarding school.
It's so weird.
It's weird. And can you go in neighborhoods like Bel Air and stuff on Google Earth?
I think so.
You can go anywhere.
I like when you see like just a person on their bike.
I know. I love like distortions in Google Earth.
Oh, so spooky. But yeah, I want to find their cabin and
I want to find where the bodies are buried on their land.
Yeah.
I also want to go to Old Hudson.
We're going.
I need it.
I the whole time I lived in New York, I never went to the Hudson Valley.
I've never been there. I've never been like... I've only been in like New York City and Brooklyn.
I went to... My mom went to school in Tarrytown, which is in Hudson Valley. And she taught at Sleepy Hollow High School.
Cute.
Ichabod Crane. But I never like, Ichabod Crane, you only went to Manhattan, didn't you?
I only went to Manhattan and Brooklyn. Maybe Queens once.
Can you do an Oklahoma accent? I only went to
Oklahoma City and Brooklyn. I don't even know. It was crazy. I went on the subway. I got lost. I always get lost on the subway.
I've been in two places my whole life, Oklahoma City and Jersey City.
I love Jersey. People in New Jersey are so nice. It is really good to be there.
It is so good.
I just love New Jersey so much. I just love it. I love pizza. I love cheese. I love the culture.
If I had to give it a grade, I'd give it an A plus.
It's an A plus for me, dog. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. We're going to New Jersey.
So Teresa goes in and probably, does she buy like $500 worth of shit?
They all have like a cheese shopping spree, which honestly, they deserve it.
Yeah, it looks incredible.
I hope that they just bought, I'll bet they just bought Teresa, like they bought all the stuff and like Teresa didn't buy anything.
Yeah, she just, I think Teresa just has to be physically in a store.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, I hope that like, what, is she debt free now or are they still paying off like debt?
I think they're debt free.
I hope that she is making lots of money again. Did they have to sell their house or do they still live in that house?
No, they still live there.
Hmm.
I think Teresa makes bank.
I hope so. I want her to go shopping again, but shop from a conscious place of like responsibility, like responsible consumption.
Yeah. But back but I here, want her to she, have was everything. Still, she was still in like her like mania days. And I think she just needed to go into like a rich shop with two P's and an E and just be like, just feel the retail and just feel the burn. And then like Caroline was like, I got you.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it. Jacqueline paid for it probably.
I love Jacqueline loves like a flex like that.
Yeah. I got it.
Let me get it. She's Teresa, down stop. A card. No, we're your guests.
Oh, that's what they did.
Mm-hmm. Then we cut to Joe and Melissa Gorga's house.
Car
and
ride.
We get
they're like getting ready for
rabbit fuck Joe Gorga energy.
Antonia's big night is here. Her big recital at the regional dance company. And Joe and Melissa are getting ready. Melissa's wearing like this hot red fiery number. And Joe just keeps going like, oh, just let me feel you.
He goes, red's my favorite color. You teasing me? It's like, no, she got ready to like, let's go. Like, you don't need to like, fuck right now. Like, we're trying to go to a recital. Him grabbing all over Melissa is truly like, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Also, like, he's like, you know what red does to me. It's like,
get keep a little it in more your original. Pants. Yeah, like, just like, chill for a second. The kids are around.
You know what red does to me. Yeah, the kids are like giggling.
It's like not healthy, I don't think, to like see that kind of sexual
interaction. It's sexualizing your children.
An unwanted like touch when she's like, get out, like stop. Like, and to keep going is like it's not a good message to be sending.
No. Also, he's such an exhibitionist. It's to like a degree that's like
in front of like a 5-year-old and like a 10-year-old.
Yeah, it's like emotional exhibition. It's some kind of shit. And Melissa's like, does not like it.
No, she's over it. But it's also, not to bring it back to My Brilliant Friend, but it really is. There's so many moments in this show where it's just like grabby men wanting to pound and like women just laying there like disassociating during sex. And
I'm like, is it still on?
It is. I'm literally need you to watch it so bad because I think that you'll be into it.
I'm into like,
it's truly a world, like you get, it feels like heroin. It feels like I'm high on heroin when I'm watching it. It like courses through your veins and it's like you're transported to another world. It's the perfect antidote to corona. It actually is the cure for corona, believe it or not. Fauci said it. Fauci said it. He goes, everyone watch My Brilliant Friend.
Fauci said it. He did?
No.
Oh my God. I believe anything these days.
Yeah, Fauci got up at a full-blown White House briefing and then talked at length about I mean, anything is possible.
Clownery. Any clowner is possible at one of those things. I can just see Birx going up in her scarf being like, I think we all need to go home, stay inside, flatten the curve, and watch My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante.
Yeah.
It's a good show.
It's a great show.
I've been watching it over Zoom with my kids and my grandkids who are back in Pennsylvania. It's really great.
I would actually be obsessed if they brought my brilliant friend into the mix.
Trump's, it's a good show.
It's a good show. Italian. Stand with Italy. It's a great show. Cuomo Melania gets in. He's like, I think we can all agree we found one thing that we have in common, and that's our mutual love for my brilliant friend. What if
my brilliant friend is bipartisan?
It like unites the world. Like everyone can agree. It's a great show. And that's what
Melania Trump loves it.
All of humanity. She goes, everyone watch my brilliant friend in her debriefings. It's
You know, Melania had like a deep emotional friendship with another girlfriend back in Slovenia.
Yeah, like a fellow like model slash prostitute. Yeah. That I want like my brilliant friend, like Slavic edition.
Someday we'll get out of here.
And like, but her friend like dies.
Melania's friend in Slovenia like passes away from like something.
Like Melania goes on to like, she's like, I'm going to America, and like goes and meets Donald Trump. And eventually, like, now we know where she ends up. Like, what a fucking rise to power, like cataclysmic rise. And meanwhile, she's like only writing letters to her friend because her friend can't even afford a phone, and her friend has fallen into like Fontaine levels of despair, like living a true Les Miserables journey. She's like,
Melania 19. Buys her land.
Yeah, she's like, I will put you on farm, I will get you farm in Virginia. And is just trying to get her friend, like, over here. But since Trump has, like, closed the borders, he, like, won't even let her have her friend come over.
All she wanted, she's like, I will move to D.C. under one condition, that my dear, brilliant friend moves close to us.
Please, we're going to
buy her a place
friend.
In Georgetown.
Yeah, we're going to just put her on the farm and give her a doctor so she can, like, recover from, like, exhaustion. The many diseases ravaging her body from living like a lifetime of poverty in like wherever the fuck. And like Trump is like, sure, whatever you say. And then like fully just flip flops. And he's like, I can't do that. I let her in. Like it's like becomes like a political thing. And she literally is like writing letters to her brilliant friend who then just like passes away in the streets. This is a sweeping drama. Yeah, and Melania, meanwhile, is, like, completely disenfranchised, like, has gotten everything she wanted, but, like, was it worth it? TBD.
TBD. And she was like, what I wouldn't give to be back home with... This is how it ends. She stares at the camera and goes, my brilliant friend.
My brilliant friend.
Tony's ready.
Tony loves it. Green light it. I think that this could bring a lot of, like, humanity into, like, Melania's story.
Maybe so.
I love them also,
right now,
like...
Because right now, I have none of it.
I want to see them in their childhood, like, working on, like, a pig farm and, like, being kind of
speaking
gangly.
Speaking of pigs.
Gangly and unkempt, and then, like, getting, like, bootleg plastic surgery procedures to, like, get hot. And then, like...
Yeah.
Taking the modeling world by storm, but then that's where their paths like veer. So, anyways, speaking of pigs,
Melania's had like Bella Hadid levels of face reconstruction. Melania has an entirely new face than she did.
The Bella Hadid, like, we both were sharing photos, I feel like, of Bella's like cat eye transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went
Bella
down,
Hadid.
Like a crazy path of like Googling. I Googled and then got into like Instagram of like Russian plastic surgeons that do that cat eye threads. And I just like really saw some things.
I need to do that. I'm Bella Hadid's just like chilling. Her quarantine is so normal. She's just like with horses.
Yeah, she's having a great core.
Also, I need to just a really great Instagram. To follow and to just watch from afar is hold please Ariana Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, the heiress to the Rockefeller family, and she's phenomenal on Instagram. She also has a website where she quotes herself.
I love when people quote themselves.
And it's just all the photos are her, like, it's definitely like a not, she probably has like a Finsta, but it's like her like, you know, philanthropy Instagram page. So, 'cause I think she just like, her job is just being a representative of her family.
Mm-hmm.
But she, like, it's just
giving
her
money to charities.
Yeah. Just like giving money, going to like events, but she, it's just her like on horses and like being like, miss you. And it's tagged like Spain. And it's like during COVID times. And it's just, it's unbelievable. And she's always alone.
She's always alone, staring out windows or like wearing a gown, just like looking off into the distance. And then she's like sending nothing but love, hashtag peace.
Yeah. Memories of family. And it's like her, like, in front of like a Christmas tree. And then randomly she'll be in a photo with like Georgina Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
You're like,
and then
oh.
One time she was at the United Nations and the caption was United Nations hashtag UN.
United Nations
hashtag UN, as if you didn't know.
Oh, Ariana Rockefeller, her site is under construction.
Oh no,
damn it, it's her at the stable. She's an equestrian. Anyway, it's worth like a quick little peep.
Just peep in. You don't have to follow. You can just check in every once in a while.
I don't follow her. I just check in once in a while.
Wait, Joe Gorga also says something really chilling to Melissa in the car where he goes, your father brought me to you. I'm your father now.
He goes, I'm your father and I'm your husband.
And I'm your best friend. I was like, whoa. That's
and Melissa
much.
Just goes, you just see her kind of go, I don't want to hear that.
I don't want
Who
you
wants to hear that.
I don't want to fuck a guy and marry a guy that's also considers himself to be my father now.
He goes, I'm your father now. And he says it in like a weird, like, he gets out. I think he's turned on by like that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has a lot of fetishes. Not to fet shame, but like,
oh no,
like, Joe,
but
come on, get it together.
That was like, but that felt more like a weird power thing than like a fetish thing.
Yeah.
Like it felt like him being like, I'm, you know, you are to submit to me kind of thing. I didn't like that.
You submit to me, you will cook for me, and you tell me everything.
That's not a normal thing to say.
No, it's not like a tenable relationship style either.
As a woman, if your significant other who was a male, identified as a male, said, I'm your father, what would you say?
Yes, daddy.
No, I'm not talking, that's
no, I would be like, no, you're
not.
Why do you think
I like that? I like daddies. That's not daddy stuff. That's like someone literally being, he's literally saying, I'm your father.
No, I'd be like, no, you're not. I'd be like, lol. That's what you think. And then I would just see, I would clock that as weird. And then if it came up again, it would be clocked as like a problem that we would have to speak about and we might need to break up.
Lol, that's what you think.
Lol. And then just like ignore it and then hope that, like, I would just not even give it the weight of it coming up again because I was like, that was a psychotic thing to say. But then if it did come up again, we'd have a problem. We'd have a problem.
You'd say like, you'd be like, hey, I'm going to put a bookmark in this and keep note of it for later. And we're not going to discuss it furthermore. And unless you say it again.
Mm-hmm. I'd classify it as like top secret Pentagon information. And then only know to reopen that file should those words come out of his or her mouth again.
I wrote back at the Catskills, they're frying a pig. They're roasting a fucking pig.
Wait, they also had like a chef come to roast and like chop up this pig. And like they're shooting guns. I was like wondering if production was freaked out by all the guns that night. If I was like a chef just coming into like a Catskills tin house and then I was having to prep this pig while all these like Jersey dudes were blasting off rifles behind me, I would be a little bit concerned.
That's why they have mafia chefs.
Oh yeah.
He's probably like a union chef.
He's a chef for the maid guys.
Yeah. It's like goes, the pig looks amazing and I'd sink my teeth into it.
Honestly, I would literally, face and head is so yummy.
I would literally just like bite into the side of it like while Jacqueline screamed.
I have an idea. There's a restaurant in Culver City that serves like a full pig head that you can order, and it serves like up to four people. And we need to go there once Quar is over and celebrate by eating a pig head.
That's, are you, it feels
are you in or are it, you out?
I'm in. It feels pagan. It feels solstice-y, summer solstice. I'm into it.
I'm Meet fully Simone. Ready. It's just the yummiest thing. Okay, I'm going to do some research. I hope it's still around because I need pig head.
I feel like that will help me see the future or something. I'm totally into it.
Okay, cool.
It's but yeah, really they're getting everything ready.
They're getting ready. Joe goes, I think you guys would have had a better time shooting the watermelons with us. Joe is literally in his element up north.
He's him and Teresa are so happy here. They should just live there.
They really should.
I have a question. Is there a lamb involved or is it just a pig?
I think it was just a pig.
Because at one point, Chris takes the lamb's like charred skull and shoves it in Caroline's face.
I'm pretty sure that was the pig skull. The pig head. It was the pig skull with no meat attached to it.
That was horrifying.
When he pulled Caroline it out went,
is
and
that
it's
the
like,
loop?
Its neck tendon like stretched out and snapped, I literally was like, ooh, I turned white.
Chris shoved the charred, like, cooked skull and shoved it in his sister's face, and I wrote heartwarming.
I was
actually like very charmed by that.
I also need a show that's just Joe Giudice's dad.
Yeah. Oh, the little pig.
He's like, oh, we're coming in the pig.
Gia comes bursting in. She goes, oh, I came all the way up. I took the bus. The Poughkeepsie, and I took a taxi here.
She's like, and then the rest was on foot. It took me days.
But I'm here for the tomatoes and the pig roast. And they're like, Gia, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, mama, you gotta put a cross and an Irish horn, an Italian horn over the door when you cook a pig. Gia is there to spread. You have to rub tomato sauce on the door and like on the stairs leading up to the front door anytime you roast a pig.
Yeah, otherwise, to protect yourself.
Otherwise Satan could
Satan comes a dancing on your doorstep. The devil is the dancing tonight. Comes. The pig demon comes. Mama, you didn't take the tomatoes to protect yourself from the pig demon. And then Mama. Joe's dad hops in, he goes, hey, Gia, I put the tomato sauce on the door already. This is an adult trip. Oh, you think I don't have the tomato sauce? I don't want a pig demon to come.
No, pig demon for you, mama. No, no, no. I come and spread a tomato, and then I go home. It'll take me another day to get home, but I will get home to tuck the baby in.
I will run as fast as I can. I will skip and run.
I will run.
I will run, emboldened and empowered by the fact that you are safe from the pig demon.
The pig demon wants to come. It's prowling in the woods now by the field down the stairs. You can see it now peeking through the trees. You see it, little hoof. You see its hoof? Tap, tap, tap. Its hoof. You'll hear it on the roof, the tin roof, mama. Oh, we have to cover the whole place in pasta and sauce. Give me the sauce. Give me the red sauce. I'm gonna do it now. No, papa, you get over there. No, no, no. Stay over there, mama. I'd rub the sauce now. Stay back. Stay back.
Their whole house is covered in sauce. But the pig demon does dance on the roof every night.
Yeah. That's like
that
the
tin
thing.
Roof.
That's what Jacqueline and Chris have to tell. They pull Caroline aside and they're like, hey, so we only found out about it last night too, but apparently every single night a pig demon visits at 3 a.m. and tap dances on the tin roof with its hooves.
It tap dances on and then Dolores cuts it. She goes, the tin roof? I knew it.
And she goes, it only lasts like an hour and then it goes away. So I'm just letting you know, don't be afraid if you hear tap, 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 tap. And Caroline goes, oh, I knew it was a bad idea to come here. I'm going to the Hampton Inn. I'll stay there for Christ's sake.
For crying out loud. A pig on the roof. You got to be kidding me.
I'm crying out loud. A pig demon on a tin roof? You gotta be kidding me here.
Now I've heard it all.
I'm crying out loud. Teresa, who? You weren't gonna tell us about the pig demon? Oh my God. It was a bad idea to come. I'm going home.
Just as Caroline is like losing her shit over the pig, Tree goes, Caroline, here's lasagna, and sets down the biggest platter of lasagna I've ever seen in my life.
It looks amazing.
It looks so good. It's as big as my desk. It was literally a sheet of lasagna.
How drunk is everyone?
Everyone's blackout. This is the best part of the trip, and the only reason why I can, like, forgive the tin house is because the food, there's constantly, no matter what time of day it is, there's food on the table. And I love that kind of vacation where it's just, like, a constant stream of food.
At one point, Jacqueline and Joe demonstrate their ability to do splits, and I started crying.
I truly have never seen anything like it. Joe doing the split, like just a sideways.
Slinks.
Of course. And I just wrote, of course, Jacqueline can do the splits. Like she has full like Kyle Richards splits energy. But Joe does the splits sideways. Like he does like just full blown.
Jean-Claude Van Damme split.
Pretty good. 40 years old. Either. I haven't done it in 20 years.
Wait, also that picture of him just, like, doing the splits, like, in a cattle cage or something. I was like, where are you? Like, this is really hot, his legs. But then his little compact body just, like, splitting further and further apart. I was like, wow.
I want to see him in action.
Yeah, I need, like, more splits energy. I feel like he could probably even get more splits energy because now he's, like, so lithe.
Yeah. They were all shocked.
I was shocked.
And then they all want to take the quads out. And Caroline
drives.
Like, they're like, come on, Caroline, come with us, Mom. And she goes, no, no, no. I'm like, oh.
We've been drinking all night. If not, say no. It's crazy. Call me crazy. And then everyone just goes wasted driving around quad. I was like a little bit. I was like, that seems like a full decapitation possibility has like raised up a lot. If you're like drunk driving quads around.
She goes, no, no, no. Yeah, that was really unsafe what they did.
It was unsafe.
At one point, Jacqueline twists herself around Chris and sits on his lap facing him as he drives into the night.
That was
Jacqueline
hot
goes,
to me.
That was hot.
She goes, you know, I want you to drive slow. And then at one point she's off the quad running after Chris. And she goes, I'm going to go shopping on your credit card as soon as we get home. I was like, yes.
They love each other so much.
They really do love each other. And they have good like credit card energy.
And they're hot for each other.
Mm-hmm. That quad, I was like, I would do that with my SO on the quad.
Teresa and Joe are just too, like, it doesn't feel authentic.
I think they're just, like, giddy. Like, this is escapism for them. And they get to, like, forget That's about true. Their problems. But also, like, Joe does seem happier than we've ever seen him in the history of the show. But it's also, like, short-lived.
Light.
Yeah, he's light in the Catskills. But then there is still a darkness that attaches to him.
It's the pig demon.
And Teresa's eyes never really focus. Like, she's never really clued in 100% of the time on what's going on.
No, she has a really hard time. I think she has, like, ADD.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Teresa's never, she's, like, just always flittering around.
Yeah, it's just, like, even when she's, like, I mean, I know that she's
so much in her mind.
Trying
she's...
to not go to a place of Momo, but she's also like, so that takes up a lot of her mental energy. But then there are times where it's just like, she's not present in the moment and you can see it in her eyes.
Well, she's so not present. She's always thinking about like jail.
Literally like debt collectors coming to like break her husband's knees.
But also at one point in the night, Joe woke up. He woke up and Teresa wasn't there, and he went out into the woods and it was like freezing pitch black. And he just saw Teresa sitting and like kind of like not fully sitting with her ass on the ground, but like kneeled all the way down. And he went, "Trey, what are you doing?" And she turned around in the light and she went, "Hey."
And that was it. When she's in the Catskills, she takes like to this woods at night to get her Momo energy out.
Yeah.
She like releases a lot of it.
And she just like raved at the moon and he just like let her.
Yeah, I love that's like a scene in a movie where it would never really get explained.
Yeah.
But it would just be like, "Hey," and then it would cut to like the next morning.
Just like a horrible image.
Yeah. Also, the Fred Astaire franchise studios, I'm obsessed. I'm pretty sure there was one of those in Oklahoma City or like Edmond. Like that was like a
so
ballroom.
Cute.
The ballroom dancing studio. And this brought me truly back to my ballroom dancing days.
I love that you were a ballroom dancer.
I've literally done this type of showcase twice.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But did you feel like a star?
I felt like a total star. One of the time, the first time was a true star turn. I did a Roomba to "Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon." And it was like a transformative moment. But then the second time I did a cha-cha.
Scandalous.
Yeah. With my dance instructor, Jeremy. And the second time we did a cha-cha to that song, "A Connection Is Made." Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a hot girl, song.
You'll be a woman someday.
Soon. But that song, there was some sort of issue with the song like skipped during my second performance. And then I didn't love it as much as the first. But I nailed the first one.
Was Jeremy happy?
Jeremy was happy. I was happy. There's no better feeling than like practicing and practicing for the dance and like being so nervous and feeling like you got it, but also just having the nerves and then just like sticking.
Nailing it.
Yeah, just nailing it out of it.
It's so Antonia's so cute.
Antonia's so cute, but I just have to say, when I was watching this, I was like, her dance is not like a real ballroom dance.
No, it's terrible.
And I felt like Danielle. I was like, she's not a ballroom dancer.
She's 4 foot tall.
She's 4 foot tall. It's not a ballroom dancer. And like the knockoff, I was truly sipping Danielle Staub haterade when it came to Antonia's dance. The hopping around, like none of that. That was not like, I was like, oh, I wonder what dance she'll do. Like I thought she was going to come out with like a little boy her age and do a dance with him, because there are sometimes kids that like take ballroom dancing classes and like learn dances together. And instead she came up with grown man who then like hopped around to like a knockoff Nutcracker song, which I think they just dubbed in, and like, yeah, and then lifted her leg up to do a split. And at one point you could kind of like see her underwear. It just felt weird. And then I was like, because I know ballroom dancing like well enough to be like, oh, they're doing like a foxtrot, or they're doing like the cha-cha, or like a waltz. And it was none of those things. It was just like a made up jig.
I know. The music was like, do, 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 do. They just like pitched it up. Do, 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 do. Kathy
so
and
bizarre.
Rich are there, and their kids, and their faces. At one point, this like middle-aged woman and these two clearly gay like dancers are flanked by her, and she like is doing this sort of like kind of like Grecian goddess moment where they're like, and it's so like, it was so sweet, but you know this is like the biggest moment of her life.
She was the happiest person ever, and there's also so many, like the way that it's set up too at these events a lot of the time, like it's like there's free dancing where everyone kind of like partners up, and like men are supposed to ask women to dance, and you kind of switch partners for a while, and then you all sit down and like watch a performance or whatever, like eat dinner, and like but there are always ladies, like single women, taking lessons because like the instructors are usually really hot and like younger.
Yeah.
But I was just like loving her journey to be loving her journey, and picked up by two, not one, but two sexy gays, and yeah, like, carried around the stage.
They took her out that night to some like New Jersey gay bar and got her like sloshed.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's looking at them like horrified. I was like, give her a break.
Give her a fucking break.
Like Richie's like, this is crazy shit.
Let her live.
Joey Wakili and Victoria are like
the
staring,
cut to
like,
them.
Yeah.
They're like,
I was like, okay, my sister was a big dancer and I used to go to all her recitals and there were dance competition. There were dance competitions. There was one where these two, I remember it was like, it was partially like a sexual awakening for me, but it was these two hot like seniors in high school guys who did a shirtless interpretive dance to a song from The Fifth Element, which you will see.
Wow.
A space opera song. And it was like, oh, oh, oh. It was like this, it's Plava Laguna, you'll see. But it was like kind of sexual and they were doing like acrobatic shit. And wow. I remember all the parents like looking at each other like you know, gay. And I was like,
that's a literal full circle moment for you. That's a formative like moment in your history.
Yeah. What a history. But yeah, they're all, and then Antonia comes out and does her like shitty little dance.
She does like a hop, like literally you practice that? Like, I don't understand. It was like, okay, hop around and then I'll spin you. It was really bizarre. It was not,
I wish you'd cut to,
she's not a dancer.
You'd cut to us in the corner, like smoking a cig in the doorway. And we're just like, she sucks.
Not a dancer.
Also at one point, Kathy tries to greet her aunt, Teresa's mom, and she goes, hello, Tito. And her mom goes, hi, hi. I was like, oh, you're a cold woman.
She's cold. She goes, how are you? And she goes, fine. Like, good, not even good. Engaging. And then
you should be ashamed of yourself.
Kathy looks beautiful.
She's truly stunning.
She's stunning. Her hair is like perfectly wind. It looks like she literally was just blown in like a wind tunnel, but not in a Yule Zerby way, in like a truly like a perfectly coiffed windblown hair way.
Kathy seems like she's like so pretty and like so does her own thing that she's probably had like a hard time like fitting in with people.
Yeah, probably.
I get that vibe from her.
Joey Gorga is wasted, but he's been happier.
I wrote, Gorga is such a mama's boy.
He's a mama's boy, but his mom just keeps kind of giving him shit. She's like, you better eat the damn food. I heard her. I felt like a real, like I was really becoming truly fluent in Italian when she goes like, mangia. And I was like, she's telling him to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You better eat your food. And he goes, Ma, leave me alone. And then he tosses her over, like dancing her, and she nearly hits the floor, and everyone goes, oh my God.
Don't throw her on the ground. And then at one point he's like hugging her and he goes, I've never been happier in my life. It's like he's rolling.
Him and Melissa took E.
They took E. He was like, that's how he was so horned up before they left.
Oh my God, maybe they do pop E.
They just like casually take E on a family night out to see Antonio's dance. I would love
that.
And
we cut back
to them.
We cut back to the Catskills and they go to the B&B Tavern, which is like a famous bar in Catskills, I think.
Really? The B&B Lounge?
B&B Lounge. I don't know if it's famous. I just made that up completely.
I love their like ragtag crew.
I know. It's such a random
over
group.
The B&B Lounge.
And they proceed to get shit-faced.
They party.
They take limoncello shots.
Joe goes, they get in, and Giudice is like never been happier in his life. He goes, what do yous want? And then they just line up shots and all start just like throwing back shots.
They hang out with the townies. There's one guy who is like kind of hot, who has like three earrings.
It's a real townie vibe.
And then at one point, they're like, Teresa and Joe are like on cloud nine.
Teresa goes, it was like Fifth Avenue and raided the Catskills. And raided is also not a word.
Teresa at one point is like getting down with her father-in-law. Like she's gyrating her booty down to the floor. Like she's having the time of her life.
They're dirty dancing. And her hat. And then, put on that hat and not like party like it's 1999.
She's wearing like a J-Lo, like newsies cap.
Jenny from the Block with like a Carrie Bradshaw flower on it. You know, she's just like put on her like newsy going out hat and then went to hit the town and show her girls a good time.
Well, Teresa, as I told you in my interview, she told me that she used to sneak, her and her friends would sneak into the city in high school and go to Limelight.
I love that.
She's seen things.
We need a movie about that.
And at one point, Caroline's like barely taking a shot. She's like, oh, I can't do it. And at one point, some guy's doing a magic show for Dolores. Dolores laughs. Like, what is going on in this bar?
A townie just pops a ball in and out of his mouth. I was like truly confused as to what that was, but Dolores is just tickled. And then everyone tries to like spend time getting Dolores like, they're like, who here is single? And they're like trying to get her some dick, and every like townie gets up to like try and hit on her, and she's just laughing and laughing.
Teresa takes over the mic and just completely hijacks the whole bar and makes everyone like subjects everyone to this like charade.
Teresa goes, it was slim pickings at the B&B lounge. I'm totally into looks, and there was no looking in there.
I loved it. I just love the shot of the guy. Like, it's like this random where he's taking a ball out of his mouth.
Like, that was truly peak. Like, that was when everyone was peaking.
That was like carnival.
That's like what happens at raves. I feel like someone's done that to me, like at a rave when I was on ketamine. Like, I was like, oh my God. Cool.
And then we cut to the next morning. It's like a rainy Sunday morning.
Let's go to church.
They take them up the road to this like little chapel, truly Paimon levels. they've erected in a chapel to Saint Michael, who's like the big Italian saint, angel, patron, whatever. And they have like a statue of Saint Michael with wads of money, like a string of money hanging off it. Like it's truly coins.
It was Paimon coins. And also when I knew Tree was channeling Paimon himself was when it did a wide shot of them all like trudging up the street to the church, and she's wearing those fur boots in the rain, and like the tendrils of the boot, like shag that's hanging off the boots, are like totally soaked. I was like, why on earth would you wear these like trudging in the rain? Like all is not well.
She's wearing like a little fur cap. Like they're in like, did you see that? It looks like a Russian oligarch's like little chapel, like on his hunting grounds or something.
It was like, but also it was still like a tin house vibe with like,
I know,
walls with like fake exposed brick. It was like a cheap Disneyland. It's like Epcot knockoff of like a St. Michael's church.
I was truly scared.
I was really freaked out. I was like, what is this place?
And then I was thinking about like how much of Catholic is based in like idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
It's but wild. Yeah,
the statue of Saint Michael, the archangel, has a literal staff, and has a string attached to it with dollar bills lining it, like a ribbon.
I'm like, a lot of good that's done this family.
I know, but they like mean it. They're like, we must sacrifice a goat and to Saint Teresa's Michael. Like,
a moment of silence, please. And like then Caroline and Jacqueline had a laughing fit that made me laugh.
Yeah. I've been there. They're starting to just see the veneer of the Judaizers just completely burst open and expose them for the chaotic.
Who are these people?
The chaotic. They're not, they're just pure chaos.
They are messy.
Caroline goes, just a minute ago, you're shooting guns. Now you're at a church telling us to pray. I mean, you can't write this.
It doesn't take much to get a lol from Caroline, is what we're learning.
Jacqueline literally has to leave the chapel because she's laughing so hard, which I totally relate to.
I fully relate. And I also love Jacqueline seems like she'd be really fun to hang out with because she's going to she's the kind of person that would look at something and then look at you and you would just know exactly what she's thinking. Because I'll bet that she's kind of prissy about decor and stuff. Like, she definitely loves a high life, so I'm sure that she has moments where she just makes shady eye contact with you about a statue, and you just know that Jacqueline hates it.
Ew, imagine how musty that chapel smells.
No, you can smell it, and it's has weird French doors. I'm what kind of chapel has a French door on it?
Teresa goes, I love the drama of her blessing herself.
This is so bizarre. Also, it's I wonder if there's some more nefarious underground reason for why you'd build a chapel on your property. Are they building it over a mass grave? Do you get some sort of tax rebate?
There's a safe room underneath.
Yeah, something is something ain't right.
They have a safe room that actually leads to an escape tunnel to Italy.
A literal tunnel from New Jersey to Italy. The old
country. To Santa Pucciano. Yeah. This is a tunnel right to Italy. You go on a little cut and you scoot on in.
You get right to the old country.
Yeah.
It's pretty
incredible. You blink and you're there.
It's pretty amazing, huh?
It's pretty amazing.
That's it. What a trip. What a trip.
That was a great palate cleanser from the boring last week episode.
Follow Carrie on Instagram at KeyCarrieO.
Icaro. Follow Laura at Lars Marie.
And
just stay safe, stay healthy, keep flattening the curve.
Just protect yourself at all costs. Buy a gun.
Love you.
Love you.
Buy a gun. Buy a crossbow.
Buy a crossbow. Stay safe.
Buy a bow and arrow. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.